Hey there, land o' internet. My name is Walt, and I'm one of the head inkslingers over at Hazard Studio and one of the sometime hosts over at the BAMP podcast. This little segment we're going to start calling Comics and Concepts, and welcome to episode one for our first run of the rodeo out of the gate. We have a couple of luminaries who like to throw some light on some of the more fun aspects of RPG writing. And I'm going to start from my left going to my right. We're going to start with Mr. Ryan Danks. How about a quick intro bio from you, sir?
I'm a guy who makes stuff. thanks for having me on. I'm the creator of Jade Punk, Tales from Cast Out City, a role-playing game. Also, Shadowcraft. I'm working on the Shadowcraft The Glamour War. I didn't really write that. I just developed it. Reroll Productions is my imprint. Currently, I'm looking at collapsing that. But mostly, I'm just a comics fan, martial artist, and you can find me on RyanMDanks.com.
Nice. And Mr. Dom Sumner, how about a little lead for us?
Dominic Sumner, longtime comics fan, RPG player. I've done writing for, I'm fighting a cold. Fantasy Games Unlimited, my own imprint, which is New Millennium Games, and also have done a little writing for Hazard Studios as well. And when I'm not gaming, am I wasting taxpayer dollars working in the law enforcement field?
Is that where you caught the cold?
I have no idea, but it's killing me.
I'll email you some cough drops. We'll get through it. So since you got hold of the mic, Dom, and before the cough drop wears off, comics. What did you read this week?
The only thing I read this week was I read a trade paperback from Titan Comics called The Troop. I read a couple of online reviews of it, checked it out, went ahead and ordered a trade paperback, and I read the latest issue of Titans from DC Comics.
So what'd you think? How about give us a little pitch, a little taste of the story, and what you thought of it. Did it go BAMF or blah?
Right now, Titans is kind of – I'm liking Titans. It's really kind of centered on Wally West right now. He's returning to DC. And hopefully I'm thinking the next storyline will probably kick off expanding the number of characters we're covering because it's really centric on him right now. It's kind of focusing on his return. And what's going on with the 52 over at Titan Comics. The Troop is basically, it's hard to explain. It's set in modern day times. Basically, they've got a billionaire who's going around finding teenagers. They all have powers. There are two separate organizations that are out to kill either one group is trying to capture the teenagers and bring them over for their own use. And another group is a group of religious fanatics who believes they're type freaks or demons and is trying to kill them and uses technology. Storyline's pretty decent. It's written by, I cannot remember the guy's name right now. He's an actor. It's played on Doctor Who. But overall, I like the story. And the ending, I don't want to give too much away, but the ending kind of sets up for a follow-on series once he's gathered a group together because the first six issues are in the trade paperback since most of his time with the billionaire going around collecting the kids from around the world.
Nice. That sounds like game material right there. So, most of us are all role-playing game guys too, and have been in and around the role-playing game industry. So, if you had to, what game system would you use to run a game like Troop?
You can run Troop in pretty much any super game, any super themed game. I'll tell you right now, it's got more of an Iron Age feel to it, and it's definitely not for kids. I will put that right out there.
A little bit of violence, nudity, profanity.
All the above. Graphic violence, nudity, and profanity.
Right on. So, like, say you wanted to launch an introductory adventure. Pick a game of choice give us a quick setup. How would you do it?
Actually, I think I can run it in supers using some of the S&D rules because, like I said, it's more of an Iron Age feel to it. It's got a lot of guys dying. I'll put that right out there. It's very, like I said, very graphic. Guys die quickly in this series.
So is it more of the church, the evil people trying to like eradicate the troop? Are they the ones doing the dying or the troop dying?
It's a combination of all the above. They've got a couple of characters that they're trying to recruit into the troop that die. the religious fanatics are knocking guys off left and right. And like I said, the evil organization that's out there. I don't want to give too much away. A lot of their guys basically perform the role of the red shirts on Star Trek. Because the average the normal guy on the street doesn't stand up well to somebody that can turn into stone and get punched in the face. Somebody has the ability to disintegrate people on their touch or infect them with any disease they can come up with. Touch them, the guy's head explodes, things like that.
Oh my God. See, I wouldn't end up with any of these powers. I would end up with like the ability to make a good cup of coffee, and that would be it. I wouldn't get turned to stone. So,
you got the future of Starbucks.
Oh God, don't threaten me with a good time.
Super barista.
The troop, if you had to give it a rating between, Banff and blah.
What, I give it Banff. I personally, like I said, I enjoyed the series. It's not for everyone. I'll put that out there now. Titans, I'd also give it a Banff. Like I said, I'm enjoying the series overall. I just want them to start focusing on some of the other characters that are popping back up.
Right on. And both of these you can get at like Comixology or your local comic shop?
Comixology, yes, because the back issues of the troop have like tripled in price now. last year, I was like, good God. I'm like, okay, I'll just pick the back issues up. And then I saw the price line. I'm like, okay, like I said, I'll be ordering the trade paperback.
Nice.
And Comixology, like I said, all the latest issues of Titans, or I know for a fact are on there, and you should still be able to pick some of them up in actual shops. I do know that apparently issue 4 sold through and they're not doing a reprint.
So you have no choice but to go digital.
Yeah. Luckily, it was my pull because my son wanted one. And they were like, nope, that's it. Not getting any more. Don't know where I can find one. I've checked multiple shops in the area because all of a sudden my son had an interest in it. And I'm like, okay, I'll just pick him one up. No dice.
Good deal. All right. Moving over to Ryan. What'd you read?
I read Reborn, number one, and given to me by my friend Quentin. And then I read the novelization. Well, I read part of a novelization of Breakout from New Avengers. Originally, Brian Michael Bendis. This one was by Alisa Quitney. And then I read Judas Breed because I was assigned that. But yeah, those are what I read this week. I really liked Reborn.
Can you give us a little pitch about it? Tell us a little bit about it and who wrote it and where you've
been. So, on the cover, it looks like Mark Millar, Greg Capullo, Jonathan Glapion, and F.C.O. Placencia. I don't know how to say that first name. Reborn is like the beginning is very abrupt. I actually think they could have paced it a little bit better. But the premise seems to be when you die, you get reborn in Tolkien land, some kind of fantasy place, but they've got guns and all this kind of stuff. So it's weird, but they deal a little bit in the beginning about like what happens when you die. You know, this woman's like, she's an atheist or whatever. And she doesn't really believe you go anywhere. You just shut off the lights. And then suddenly, bam, she's in this weird world and there's a war going on with orcs and it's setting up pretty cool. So I'm interested. I have issues 2 and 3 here also. So interested to get into that.
Nice. Do you think you could mine that for RPG material?
No. not to write RPGs with it. But I could play it. It's one of those games like the story is revealing, then the characters are revealing as the story goes by. So it's not established characters. So I don't think I would put it together with a, I can't really find RPG material from it.
If you had to run players through a game of Reborn, do you have a system you think you could use? Sounds Fate to me.
Yeah, and at the risk of becoming the Fate guy, which I'm kind of trying to move away from a little bit, you know, even though that's everything I've designed with. Yeah, I would run it with Fate. I would do create your high concept, create your trouble, and then we will create the rest of your character on the go. So I would not – and no more stats because this seems to reveal character as you play through. And the characters, after they die, they change. Like she died as an old woman and now she's in her 20s again. So I would play it like that. I would have the reveal as the game is launched and just when you decide you want a new skill, bubble that in, and once we reveal every stat of your character, then your character's done, and we're probably in episode 3 and having a blast, maybe. Yeah.
Now, what kind of high concepts do you think would really work with this kind of property?
I don't know.
I mean, died old. Obviously, we died old, born young. You know, or something like that.
Like the common one they give, Cap, about like man out of time, or something like that, where you're just completely out of your, you know, everyone's confused when they start. It seems to be everyone's confused. But yeah, I don't know. You're see, a fate guy, right? But I'm like, I haven't created an aspect in maybe 2 years, so I've not been doing that part of the design area for fate.
Now, giving them a trouble, is that something you could really do right away? I mean, they just according to what you just told us, they appear and now they're in this land. I mean, do you have trouble like reborn and run afoul of orcs? I mean, can you do that right off the bat?
Well, I think that would probably be on the setting, like have a setting aspect for that. What I would do is I'd go around the table and just be like, what is bothering your character? What's getting in your way? And they might have an idea, like my personality is such that I'm going to do this a lot or I'm going to do that a lot. If they don't have that, then I would suggest like a generic, confused, fish out of water kind of trouble that they can change at their first milestone. So that's, you know, as they learn more about their character. That's kind of the strength of Fate. And that's really the only time I lately really enjoy Fate anymore is when I'm playing games where I don't know, no one knows who they're playing and we're just going to kind of jump in. But yeah, for the Avengers one, I think I would game that with supers because it's more established characters. Mutants and Masterminds, maybe, but I can create a character in supers in 10 minutes and Mutants and Masterminds maybe 3 hours. So I don't know if I would, I don't know if I'm into that kind of crunch anymore.
Do you think you could do it with the Margaret Weiss Marvel heroic role playing?
Oh yeah,
I'm pretty sure that was the adventure in the back of the book, wasn't it?
Yeah, in the Marvel role playing heroic. Yeah, Marvel heroic role playing game. Yeah, that was. I have one of the rare copies of print still in existence upstairs. The breakout was in that. So yeah, of course. I mean, you have all the stats there.
Nice. And if you had to pick between the three, what do you think you'd run it with most?
Probably supers. The last time I played the Marvel heroic, somebody had a Magneto kind of powers, and they turned a speedboat into a D12 amazing asset that just blew everything away, and it like turned into like some kind of supersonic helicopter. And I was like, okay, these mechanics obviously need some control. But I don't think I'd be into that anymore. But supers, because like I said, me and some masterminds, a lot more crunch than I'm into these days.
Right on, right on. And I think for my pick, it's a slightly older book. It's called Copperhead. Oh yeah, you can't see because it's glowing. A little bit. Yeah, there we go. Anyway, so it's a story about single mom, and she takes a new job in a new town. It just happens to be that the new town is across the galaxy, and we have problems right off the bat. Number one. Obviously, sexism and misogyny are still a problem out in the deepest galaxy, where you have stuff like the frontier, because she's harassed on the way into work. But the whole story centers around a woman who is going to work for the first time as the sheriff in a small town called Copperhead. She brings her son along with her. And immediately has trouble all over the town. And then I have volume one. I just picked up volume two for Christmas. Immediately has trouble because, number one, there's a conspiracy going on. Number two, the guy who thought he should have got that job didn't. It went to this lady. And, you know, he's not as supportive as he could be in the beginning. The whole planet is pretty much... well, not the whole planet, but the area that they're in is arid and very difficult. So that makes things, you know, hard. Plus, she doesn't really know the landscape. She's, you know, she's been here for 5 minutes and already stepping off the bullet train. There's trouble. Book is by Faber. I'm going to murder this. Godlewski, Riley, and Maurer. If you go to their Twitter feed, they're getting ready. They're doing it in like sequences, and they're getting ready to ramp up again to get start tackling volume three. So I'm super stoked. If you like things like Firefly, if you like kind of like that Star Wars cantina atmosphere, just not so many aliens. It's really got a cool vibe to it. If I had to play that, I'd put players through probably, I'd use Savage Worlds for that. Yeah, I think I could get a lot of mileage out of it. And definitely
like Deadlands conversion or something.
Oh, what's that?
Sounds like a Deadlands conversion or something from Savage Worlds.
Yeah. Yeah. Just throw the sci-fi companion on top of it. No magic. You know, you still have that Wild West feel, even though you're in a, you know, galaxy some far away. I really, so far have enjoyed it. The art is great. Very evocative of what they're going for. So very cool. And then the other thing I read is, and I'm going to have to apologize to him because we've had him on the show before, and I only just now got to episode six, or rather issue six. But I read five and six of a comic called The Edge by Marvin Wynn, and the most kickboxingest artist all over the place. And that's Mark V. If you follow Mark V, for his art, you also get a taste of his Muay Thai and, his training that, has been all over the place, which oh man, he makes me jealous. So, but, the book, is, a continuation of issues one through four of, a team that is basically sent out to stop kind of like an experiment going wrong. And at the end of issue four, things have just gone from bad to crap. And it's definitely a superhero book, powers, all sorts of crazy gadgets. The main villain is like something out of a Spider-Man clone saga gone horribly wrong. Marvin came on the Banff podcast, Indie Creator Spotlight, to talk about it. Just some of the visuals that go with Mark V's art. And then you have the colors really pop. You have very iconic very iconic dialogue going back and forth. We talked to Marvin when he was on the show, and I told him, I said, you know, in the beginning of issue one, you had a research station, and the research station, the soldiers and stuff like that, that were operating and monitoring and moving around, that dialogue to somebody in the military sounded like, hey, this is dialogue. This is stuff we would say. So, it really captures that feel of, once again, going back to the Iron Age of comics. And I think if I had to run it in a game, I'd probably use supers, but I would definitely use the deadlier mechanics of supers that take away some of the difficulty in which a hero can perish. Because in the first issues, one through four, they lose some people. And in the issues 5 and 6, it's not getting any better because it's called Reign of Chaos for a reason. So definitely, if you got some spare change, go over to Drive Through RPG, check it out. Drive Through Comics. You can pick it up. Just look for The Edge by Marvin Wynn, and you'll definitely find it. But yeah, so those were my picks. So
there's actually a pretty sizable preview on Drive Through Comics too. Of The Edge for the first issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you go to some of his latest, he's also got YouTube trailers. So where they use animations and some of the art from the book. So you can check out a trailer for each comic as you're thinking about picking them up.
So you, Walt, you mentioned the dialogue being militaristic, you know, like familiar to military guys. Is it something that a layman would be lost with, or is it just peppering it?
No, it's definitely it's like one of those things, like when you watch a military movie, kind of like American Sniper or something like that, you know, you might look at the tactics and some of the stuff they're doing and think, I guess I know what they're doing or whatever, but as long as it's driving the story, you should be okay with it. Whereas a military guy might look at it, and Dom and I have had this conversation on the podcast before, you know, all of a sudden somebody does something that is like totally contrary to what we do. And you're just like, nope, you lost me.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I get it. I see that all the time in martial arts. I'm like, no. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. No, so, I was just curious because, you know, there might be someone watching who's not in the military and might be like, oh yeah, I don't want all that jargon.
In the first issue, which you can, once again, you go over to Drive Through Comics and pick it up. I believe they also have it on Comixology. There's a research station, you know, and some things are going to happen at that research station, because otherwise why are you showing it in a comic book? But they the head guy walks in and he's like, you know, he walks up to one of the lead technicians and is like, what do you got? And the guy's just like, another day on the farm, another dollar, another dime, you know. And it's just those quick quips back and forth that military guys going through their duties might just shoot at each other just as a how do you do interaction, you know, because you're really concentrating on what you're doing. So it was nice to see that kind of flowy dialogue going through. Definitely good stuff. So if you got a chance, check out Marvin's stuff, and check out you can find them on Facebook, you can find them on Twitter, and definitely go over and pick up some comics. So now we're going to lead into our section. We got a group book that we took a look at. Comic is called Judas Breed. Now the reason I wanted to look at this is because they just dropped the first trailer for Aliens Covenant. Did you guys see this?
The trailer? No, I didn't see it.
I've seen it.
Dom, what do you think?
I don't know. I'm going to have to see the movie. Like I said, they did a pretty good setup to get you to want to watch the movie. And I think it's definitely got a feel for the original Alien to it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that caught me was at the end of the trailer, you got those two folks hanging out getting wet. And all of a sudden, it's one person getting wet, and it's not water. You know, I mean, to show that in a trailer, you know, as like a general release trailer, I thought that was kind of risky. What do you think?
First thing that popped in my mind when I saw that was it takes it back to the old slasher movies from the 80s. Where, you know, people are getting killed left and right. Oh, no, let's go hop in the lake and go skinny dipping. But actually, I'm not sure if that was a Red Band trailer or that was a general release trailer that popped up.
Oh, maybe it was the Red Band trailer. Yeah, because that would make more sense.
Now, I got a question for you guys. I just learned, and I haven't seen it, so I'm not sure, but is Prometheus related to Aliens?
It's a prequel.
Is it?
Yeah.
And the new Alien movie that he's talking about is the sequel to Prometheus.
Okay, because I heard that Prometheus, the way it was described to me, I was like, that doesn't sound anything like Aliens. When I just heard, like 2 days ago, I discovered that connection. And I was like, that doesn't sound anything like Aliens, but what I know of the movie.
You're going to have to watch it pretty much all the way through to get the link to Aliens.
Oh, okay.
And like I said, the new Alien movie trailer that came out is the sequel to Prometheus. It's they're both prequels, Alien.
Okay. Well, I like the Star Wars prequel, so maybe I'll be down with that. I know that's an unpopular stance, but I like prequels.
I was gonna say you're gonna admit that on air, huh?
I admit that on my blog. I'm all about that. Yeah.
So the new Aliens, the new Alien Covenant trailer dropped, and I said, you know something, what a great time when that interest goes back up in that property to talk about somebody who's obviously got a love for that property. The writer's name is Kenneth Brown, and from the first couple of panels, you got the sense that this was his love letter to that series. You know, so why don't we talk a little bit about it? We got the book, courtesy of Mr. Brown. He sent us a couple of review copies, and the book is by Kenneth Brown, Ryan Best, and you got letters by an old favorite, seeing as he did the letters for Heroic. That's HDE. So let's talk about this book a little bit. What did you guys think?
It definitely has an Aliens feel to it. When you pick it up with the starship land on a strange planet, we discover an alien, some type of alien ship. We discover some type of new alien life forms. We want to take samples of them, bring them back aboard the ship and study them. And then something happens. And things go downhill for the crew from there.
Would you think of the would you think of the ship design and the drones?
My personal opinion, I like the ship design. I like the drones. Also, the artwork's pretty good too. And then some of the characters and they do things. I'm just like, but I understand the premise. I'm like, why in the world would they do that? But it gets the story moving along.
Right. Yeah, let's just put this little bug in my pocket.
I'll toss the sucker in my pouch, take it back aboard the ship. We don't do any type of quarantine with it. It's all good.
Ryan, what'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, I like the story. The concepts were cool. It did throw me off a little bit, the ship design, and it's only supposed to be 16 years in the future. So I'm like, how? That's a little off. You know, that kind of threw me for a second. And it's this planet that's out of the way. I mean, to my knowledge, we're not moving towards that in 16 years. But you know, that's a jab. Otherwise, I loved the story. I read the first and second comic, and I thought the story was great. The scenes that were obviously supposed to be horrific scared the hell out of me. Like it was, they were those scenes.
That's
I
awesome.
liked them. So yeah, I mean, it was a mission accomplished in that regard. Those horror scenes were good. I really liked them.
Nice. What'd you think about that, Dom?
Like I said, the 16 years, it is what it is. You know, sometimes you have to suspend belief. And like I said, you already know this, when something happens to somebody, well, you can start writing off certain members of the crew. They're gone. They're like I said, well, I don't think he's gonna last too much longer.
Yeah.
once
Yeah.
So I'm actually interested to see what happens to find out how the story ends, so
So also picking apart different things that we're seeing in the in the comic, how'd you guys like the hard suits? The suits that they were wearing on the outside of the planet.
you know what? They didn't jump out at me, except for the helmet, which was like, okay, it's like a helmet, which I think is a good thing, because if it didn't catch my attention, which meant it's good enough for me to suspend my disbelief. So that doesn't mean like it's not Iron Man, obviously, where I'm like, oh my gosh, it's incredible, but it's also not like some others where you're like, wow, what are they wearing? That might just be me, but I thought, you know, that's cool. It just read through. So I didn't really, the fact that I didn't notice is probably a credit because it just got me. I was in the story.
So it felt like it was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
The suits and the technology didn't distract you from the story. It felt like a something that someone would actually wear. Something believable.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we see the first issue. They obviously encounter this alien life form that they think is just a fossil. And as Dom says, we can start writing off members of the crew.
Which
What'd you
I'd like
guys?
to point out, the characterizations were some of my favorite thing. Because they're, when people die, I didn't expect it, because they did kind of like that George R.R. Martin deal, where if you want to make it surprising for a character to die, give them a future and then kill them so they never get to see it. And I felt like the characterizations, like even like the doctor, I'm like, I did not expect him to die, because they did so much good setup of his characterization. I expected that kind of setup and that kind of dedication that he would last a little longer. So I was really impressed by characterizations there.
I did not expect the doctor. what do you guys think of Connie? She was the blonde scientist that was there, basically suffering a bunch of the weight of this. I really enjoyed the desperation in the later panels of the comic. Connie is trying to help her friend. She sees that things are going drastically wrong, and she's pleading with her friend, just turn around. I just need you to turn around. And I felt that coming through the panels. What'd you guys think?
Connie was, I just said, I like the characterizations. Connie was the one I liked least.
Really?
I really liked her in the beginning. Because she's, you know, she's impetuous. They're like, go over here. And she's like, no, we can split up. Just stop being a little, you know. She was all about just, she had some, you know, we were building this character. And then it felt like a full twist, a full abandonment of that. And especially when you get into like the second comic, it feels like she's just a super victim. And it totally went away from this, what seemed to be the person who's going to step up and handle business. Which in that scene you're talking about, she tried to. So, but it felt like right after that scene is where we just kind of depart from what she was going to become. And she becomes the person who faints and the person who just kind of gets dragged along. That was my take on her. She was my least favorite character of all of them because of that. Because I thought she was going to be the star hero, this Ripley, who's going to jump up and handle business. And then she kind of didn't.
I think after the little incident where she got hit in the leg, she just kind of fell off for a little minute. And I'm wondering if, say, in the third issue or something farther down the road, she'll come back, get herself together, and rise to the level that you think she is.
Yeah.
Because right now, I think she's kind of in shock. Like I said, her friend has died. She just had some alien poke a hole through her leg. All this stuff's going on.
And right.
So she's just kind of trying to deal with it the best way she can. And once she has a minute to get her, you know, compose herself.
And, you know, it makes sense. Like, what they did was good with it. Like, she did go off the rails here a little bit. Because, I mean, and like you said, she got injured and it makes a little sense. But the writers did a good job in that while she's kind of down, everyone else's characterizations are stepping up and taking that limelight and holding it. So I think maybe six issues in, my little rant here about how they departed from her characterization might be completely moot once you look at that big scope.
And also, she might be infected with something, because remember she was saying she didn't feel too good. You can see where they had one panel, she gets like she's got some kind of virus or something growing on her leg.
Right.
That might be having an effect on her as well. So.
Oh, I have a question real quick, just to be clear. Are we going over the first two issues or just the first one?
Oh, the first two, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because I read both and I didn't want to.
So now we start going into the second issue, and obviously Linda is having a really bad day. So, but before we get into that, in the first issue, what did you guys think of the alien, of the artifact or the, you know, the fossil? When things started going wrong and How'd you find that? What'd you guys think of it?
The alien itself, or their handling of the alien?
well, we know how the handling went.
So the alien, like I said, it was a pretty simple design, but it's effective. And like I said, it didn't really stand out, but it got the point across. It didn't exactly look like something you'd find on Earth, but it looked alien enough that you knew it was something you wouldn't find when, you know, everyday occurrence wandering around in the yard.
Now, how about in the second issue, things start changing a little bit, and Linda's day goes from bad to crap. What did you guys think of what started happening to Linda? That was the one who had the facehugger moment.
Well, as I said, once certain things happen, you know things are going to go downhill for that character. And once she get punched through the hand and is continued to do what basically I was like, well, why in the world? You knew, well, she's a goner. I just want to see how they're going to handle it.
Yeah, I mean, I was the alien was interesting design when it crawled, the way that the artist drew it crawling off like after them when it first opened up, that was the start of the scary part for me. I got arachnophobia first of all, so anything with that kind of legs is freaking me out. But the way it lunged after her, I was just like, man. And then the sounds that it makes, like I could, you know, because obviously it's not making actual sounds, it's a comic book, but the chat.
Onomatopoeia.
Yeah, I could totally hear this thing screaming in my head. So I really, like I said, those were the most effective scenes for me. I really liked those scenes. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It feels like an alien facehugger meets Species. That's what this feels like. It feels like a combination of aliens and Species, which is a cool combo. So it's I'm into it. I like the alien. I'm into it.
Nice. So
I can easily see this being like a movie popping up, say like sci-fi or something like that. I'm not sure if it'll get a big budget production, but sci-fi I think would do a decent job at it if they actually
get
a decent director and a little bit of money. Especially and you've already got everything kind of storyboarded out for you. When her skin starts to rip and various things start popping out of her mouth and her eyes turn black and she goes that starts going after the fellow other crew members.
Nice. So we should tell Kenneth to pitch this to Sci-Fi immediately.
And it can't hurt. All I can tell him is no. I mean, these are the same people that greenlit, Sharknado and Sharknado 2.
Do not forget Mansquito, my all-time favorite.
Oh, the audacity some people have in these meetings to pitch this kind of stuff. That would be cool, but like Sharknado. It's like, I mean, I really wanted to be in that first room when that got pitched.
What's that, Dom? We got you on mute.
Said I'm wondering if somebody's sitting around the house one night high, smoking a joint, eating Doritos, doing Shark Week on Discovery Channel, when they see a pitch on a commercial for the Weather Channel comes up with a tornado. Dude, I got an awesome idea. A tornado full of sharks. I'm so pitching this.
Have you guys actually seen it?
No.
It was on TV one night when I walked in the office at work and I'm just like, oh my God, I cannot believe you people are watching this.
My wife started watching it one night and I watched the first 5 minutes and I just walked out. I was like, I'm done. And I think she turned it off after 10. But it's the thing you love to riff on even though no one's seen it.
Somebody's in it because like I said, they green lit a second one.
And a fourth one.
I've heard they're out there. So somebody's watching them and somebody's getting paid.
Probably the same people who created Zombievers. At one point, in the second issue, we start seeing a little bit of what the future holds for us Earthlings in the military-industrial complex. When things start getting taken over by the company, what'd you guys think of that? How that was handled? How it played out?
That seems to be pretty standard for certain movies. Like, look at like the Alien series and a couple other sci-fi type films. You've got these huge mega corporations that are bankrolling space exploration, obtain like minimal rights and access to the resources you don't have on the planet. They want to go ahead and try to bring, well, we found this alien. Let's bring it back and study it. How can we make money off of this? And you know from right then, from that point on, well, as I've already said, we'll bring it back to the space station and keep it contained. That things are going to go downhill for everybody from there.
You do realize
how they handle it is what I want to see. You know it's going to happen, but you still want to see how they do it.
So you do realize that now that once this airs, I'm going to rip the audio for "keep it contained" that you just said, and I'm going to use that as like one of my text messages. Text message ringtones. That's going to be awesome.
Hold on. They kill me. Like I said, you see it all the time in some movies and comics. We can keep this contained. He's going to have the guy from the company. He's going to come in. He's going to get things under control. He's trying to figure out how I can make a buck out of this and advance my career.
Yeah, it worked for Burke back in the old Aliens movie.
But was it really? What was he? Because okay, wait a minute. You're saying company man. Are you guys talking about actual company financiers? Or because he says he's military intelligence. So is it that kind of company man?
Yeah, probably.
Pretty much the same. It's the same idea. You've got the guy from the government, the company.
Okay. So that government.
Someone in here in a position of authority who's going to come in, tell you common sense says jettison her into space, get as far away from as possible. No. We can control this. How can I benefit from this situation? Bring him back here. And from that point on, you know things are just going to spiral out of control.
Right. I just want to clarify because you guys have that military jargon and I don't. So I'm not sure in that area. This is coming up a lot in this podcast and that normally doesn't. I normally know a lot of the military stuff. But
next time we'll definitely draft you a lexicon.
Okay, yes.
Especially when we start talking like we're Navy.
Well, Navy I might get. My grandfather was Navy. He raised me. But
there you go. We definitely lose our PG-13 rating. Starting with Dom, Bamf or Blah?
I'm Bamf. Like I said, you know something bad's about to happen. It's set up. You know it's going to happen. I still want to see how they resolve the story.
So you definitely going to pick up the next issue?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and pick it up. Like I said, they've got me hooked. They've got me involved in the story now. So I want to see what's going to happen.
And Ryan, Bamf or Blah?
On the concept, I'm Bamf. I'm really liking it. I think I'd pick up the next issue to see what happens. But I wasn't thrilled with the story execution. So that part I would be Blah. You know, like there were parts where I probably would have put it down. But the high concept of what is happening, the storyteller in me wants to see how that resolves. I'm mixed.
So you're going to pick up the next issue maybe to see where it goes?
Yes. I want to know where it goes.
Nice. So let's say we got a gaming group together and we want to throw dice on the table. How are we going to play this out on the table? What system do you think you would use?
Well, not Fate, because Fate, you don't have to die if you don't want to, and that's obviously not the case here. Something gritty, something where you can just be killed. I'm looking at my shelves over there, but I don't know. I don't know, because you also need to be loose with the infestation. You know, for this, if I was going to run this at the table, I would probably make up something custom.
Really?
I probably would, yeah.
That way you can have some sort of a fear mechanic or, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think there's so much going on here that is rare in role-playing games. Not the common method. So I think I would create a custom mechanic for this.
Do you think maybe you could probably base it something similar to like Call of Cthulhu or, you know, games like that where it's more flight than fight?
Yeah, I think I could hack Call of Cthulhu for this. I don't know if I'd want to because I didn't really get into that, but I could see that, something like that working, yeah.
And would you start it the same way on the planet doing research, or would it be like four scientists in a bar and, hey, let's go adventuring?
Oh, no, yeah, no, you got to show. I would start everything. The beginning of this was the strongest part. I was hooked for quite a while into that first comic. So, yeah, I would start exactly the same. Yeah.
Right on. Dom, same question. If you had to run this at the table.
I would think some type of horror-based system and then make some kind of sci-fi hack for it. But I got a question for you. White Star, would that work for this? Because
I think so. I think so, because especially at like first level, and you know, there's been plenty of hacked character classes for White Star, for things like scientist, research engineer, explorer. So you have all these science-based classes out there for free. The main book is not expensive, so it'd be a very low buy-in. And as we've all seen with any original, you know, your favorite largest original role-playing game, first level characters are squishy and would probably be dying off in droves. And luckily, they're not that hard to create. So if the GM came to the table and said, all right, everybody craft explorer scientist type characters, and they spent their 10-15 minutes putting somebody together, and in his bag of tricks the GM or the referee had 30 extra characters for people to play when, you know, their little darlings died, I think that would definitely work. And like I said, it'd be a low buy-in because the PDF is fairly inexpensive, the hard copy is fairly inexpensive, and it's high quality game.
You know, when you said that right there, the crafty scientist explorer thing, Traveler. I'd run this in Traveler.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Especially, yeah. You know, when you could die before your character was even completely created.
Exactly. Now that
hey, guess what? I've got an awesome set of stats here. I'm dead.
Because that approach to the planet could be character creation, and then someone dies, and then it's like, well, okay, his airlock popped, or like we could come up with something. You could die in character creation there. That's pretty cool.
Now, even though the character creation for that is super fun, would part of the horror of, you know, these monsters ripping through people at the game table, would part of the terror be, please don't kill my character, I don't want to spend another 30-40 minutes in character creation?
Could be. Well, another thing I'd suggest is probably some NPC characters tossed in here. Just like I said, the red shirts. And I'd actually build these guys up. You're thinking, hey, this guy's going to be, he's there to help you guys out, and knock him off right before a skill you need for this guy to have is, well, he just died.
Yeah.
We got to figure out how we're going to work this out because he was the only one that knew how to do it.
Yep, that's a great trick. Yeah, if you want to make it.
You know, you got an awesome pilot. He's piloting the ship. You guys, they're not skilled in piloting the ship, and he dies. Uh-oh. We got a problem.
Or the guy that had the keys to the weapons locker.
He's the only guy trained in explosives. I've got a locker full of explosives. I don't want to blow the ship up. We need to figure something out.
Yeah.
Nice. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I hadn't even thought of Traveler because even though I own the Mongoose set, and I'm thinking about getting the second set because I heard it's really good, I've actually never played a game of Traveler. So
I say that I would use this completely ignorant of how it actually plays at the table.
I haven't played Traveler since back in the late 80s. I played Traveler, Star Frontiers, and Space Opera. And like
nice.
I said, Traveler, like I said, you could work up a character, and your character could actually die doing character creation. And sometimes it didn't matter, but sometimes I was like, hey, I had a great character coming up, and something happened. The guy died. What? I start over again from scratch.
I've been listening to some of the actual plays on Happy Jack's RPG podcast, and they have some Traveler games up there, and you do not want to get into combat, even if you're good at it. So, I mean,
sounds like GURPS,
right?
Yeah.
So, now, yeah.
I want to talk about a really gritty game where guys could die a lot. You guys ever remember Palladium's Arc Recon?
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah.
That was a game, and I've actually had a couple guys bug me about doing a modern day version of Recon, like an update, because back in the right after the first Gulf War back in '91. They announced they were going to do a modern Recon, adding updates and things like adding like Delta Force and the SEAL, modern day versions of the SEALs of the games, and they never put one out. And it actually probably be fairly simple to do.
I love Palladium games. They're Heroes Unlimited. That was my first superhero foray, and I loved it. Played it for years.
Yeah, I really loved what was it for Heroes Unlimited? The Aliens book. Was it Aliens Unlimited or something
it
like
was,
that?
Yeah, they had an Aliens one for Heroes Unlimited. And it might have just been something like Aliens. It might have been Aliens Unlimited. And then they had, what was it, Grimacy Island with the super prison? And they had another one They had a couple of different supplements for the Alien Wing.
Yeah,
and they also had their horror. They had a didn't they have a horror release for that as well?
Yeah, it was originally called Nightspawn, and then they changed it to Nightbane because Todd McFarlane sued them.
Well, the comics industry these days and gaming. Because clearly you would get Night Spawn and the Spawn comic, which are two completely different things, confused.
Right. You know, I mean, one was, you know, a super soldier who came back from hell. The other one was, you know, like supernatural creatures living in a mirror dimension. I mean,
anything that resembles it. I was born at Spawn Hospital. I wonder if he'd sue me for that.
He'll probably sue the hospital.
The Spawn. Right? Spawn.
Nice. So, for my rating, I'm definitely going to give it a BAMF. I am definitely going to be in for when Kenneth launches the third Kickstarter coming up. And if anybody wants to pick up Judas Breed number one, right now it's only $1.99 on Comixology. So, definitely go down there and, you know, if you like that old school alien feel, you know, where the technology isn't super high, but just it's a little further than what we have now. And, you know, you like to have like creepy visuals and stuff, like Ryan was saying, you know, arachnophobia, you get the heebie-jeebies. And like Dom was saying, you know, somebody's not making out of this, you know, making it out of this. So, yeah, Comixology, $1.99. You gotta go pick it up. Good stuff. So that brings us around to the back end of things, and starting with Ryan, what are you working on these days, if anything?
Everything. I'm working on a lot, actually. I've got a lot of plans in 2017, but for the first quarter, we are going to have a Jade Punk release and a Shadowcraft. Shadowcraft Kickstarter, and then I'm gonna do some fiction. So we're starting in book form, but I'm working on getting into a comic book and towards the end of 2017 with the same stories. So yeah, a little bit of everything from me.
Nice. And you have somebody developing Jade Punk for you right now, right?
I'm kind of stepping in again as developer. Jacob Posen does most of the writing, and we're about to finish up his thing, and then we're going to launch into the martial arts bit, which I have a heavy hand in. Shadowcraft. Right now, I'm kind of handling the development role, which is not really working on things, just developing them, and which I like. I actually like that role. I like being the idea guy and then just kind of in control of things. But we're moving into other new areas because I want to get done with these Kickstarters so I can move on to future things.
Right on. Dominic, what are you working on?
Well, right now we've got our first source book for Supers as being edited. Hopefully that'll be back from editing later this week, and either later this week or early next week, and I can send that out to layout. But also got two new writers and two new artists that came on board with this. One of them is going to be concentrated on Pathfinder material, and he's working on developing his an actual adventure for Pathfinder and one smaller release. I've also started putting out material for the second edition of the old FGU's old Villains of Vigilantes, and I've also got some stuff in development for Mutants and Masterminds. And depending on how things go later on this year, I want to try to get out at least two more source books for Supers. One's going to concentrate on Japan. It's going to be called Land of the Rising Sun. And another one's going to be on Golden Age material called Golden Age Supers.
So do you sleep?
When I can. Last couple of weeks, sleep has been at a premium between my regular job and just all kinds of weird things happening. Other than that, I'm trying to get a sandwich after I get off work. I'm like, all I want is a sandwich and gas. I want to go home. And end up getting in a foot chase, chasing a girl for like a couple of blocks with about five other units involved in it. I'm like, this night just keeps going on and on and on.
It's overrated.
But the foot chases aren't.
As I used to get told, you know, sleep is a crutch. You can sleep and you die.
Exactly.
Right on.
And at this rate, I feel like this might be sometime in the next couple of weeks. Like, well, hopefully, if I can just get caught up on stuff, if I can just catch a break, I'll be all right.
Well, you can't kick off anytime soon. We're going to need you to come back and read more comics. So
I've got a stack of comics in here now I haven't had a chance to read. I treated myself to a book for Christmas that I was a Kickstarter for an actual book. It's a book, a military-related book called Special Units out of France. And I've got that, and I think I've been able to read like maybe 4 pages out of it. And I've got I have a stack of comic books and trade paperbacks and I haven't had a chance to read.
So is that like reading material in one hand and sandwich in the other?
It's not even that. If I could actually sit down for a couple of minutes, just unwind, but the last couple of days, it's been one thing after another. I'm like, I've got game material. I'm like, all right, I'm going to sit down and work on this for a while, and then something happens. So the next day, all right, I'm going to work on this, and it's just not happened in the past couple of days.
All right on. Well, you need an assistant, or either that or a bodyguard.
Not that. I'm taking a vacation soon. I got to.
Keeping it in the sci-fi vein, if folks want to check out something that's kind of in the vein of Judas Breed and stuff like that, and a callback to a classic TV trope science fiction monster, they can check out from us Hunter's Moon, Ghost the Machine. It's an adventure for White Star levels 1 to 3. Fairly priced and set to move. So if you have a hunkering to roll some old school dice and be part of the OSR, check us out. We're on Drive-Through RPG. Final thoughts. Dom, what do you want people to know as you sign out?
I want more people to start getting back into gaming. From what I see, apparently our board games are starting to pick up. I'd really like to see people take a crack at RPGs. I'm like, it annoys me when I see people just sitting on a computer all day long playing these little games. I'm like, dude, get out and do something. We can actually talk to people.
Right on. Ryan, final thoughts as we call it a podcast.
No, I'm going to piggyback off of his. I wrote an article this week on my website that talks about how to get mainstream appeal in gaming and why does Monopoly and Firefly and things like that have it and RPGs can't? And I really feel that it's because to get into most RPGs, you got to memorize 400-300-page tomes and this kind of thing. And no one in mainstream wants to do that. So I wrote a kind of a manifesto of how to maybe approach that and did a little Facebook Live video on it. If you're interested, check it out, RyanMDanks.com. And I don't know, maybe that can continue the conversation. Maybe we can all collaborate later about some 10-page booklet that'll get people started. I don't know.
Right on. Kind of like the anti-Jack Chick tracks.
Yeah.
We'll definitely.
I used to find those quite amusing when I was in school.
Did you actually see those? I've never seen one.
I did. I saw the D&D one because one of my teachers informed me. Because I remember I'd picked up S2 for AD&D, White Plume Mountain. And I was going to be running it that weekend. So during lunch, I was trying to read through it to get myself up to speed. And she informs me, and I quote, that Dungeons & Dragons was devil worship. And she was dead serious and went in this little 5-minute tirade. And it gave me one of the little Jack Chick tracks. I'm thinking, wow.
That happened to me. The very first game I ever played, I was 12. I'm playing D&D. Very first time ever. And this dude's mom is like pacing. Talking about this is the devil, and we're like, I'm like, what is this? Is pretend? It feels pretty cool.
I remember I was in junior high school. I think I was 11, 12 years. Probably about 12 years old. And I mean, I'm thinking I know the difference between fantasy and reality. Apparently, you don't.
All I had was my buddy's mom stick her head in the room and be like, "Are you guys doing drugs? No, keep doing what you're doing." So I mean, that was easy. Well, this has been Walt, Ryan, and Dom for the Banff Podcast, Comics and Concepts, where we review comics that we've read during the week and see how we can make some gaming material out of them. And then we reviewed Judas Breed from Kenneth Brown. On sale right now, the number one issue is on sale for $1.99. So go to Comixology, pick it up. And you've been watching the Banff Podcast.